IMAX studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we'll try to come to terms with the latest loss suffered by the Green Bay Packers and look ahead to Sunday's matchup with the Detroit Lions. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Randall Cobb.
Touchdowns on wheel routes.
James Starks.
Taking over the number one running back spot.
Jake Ryan.
Making tackles.
We got the bad. We got Julius Peppers.
Disappearing act.
Corey Linsley.
Gotta figure out that protection.
Josh Sitton.
Worst player on the Packers no one's talking about.
And we got the ugly. We got, haha, not a laughing matter, Clinton Dix.
The worst player on the Packers that everyone's talking about, because it was hard to miss how awful he was on Sunday. How are you, Corey?
I'm doing good.
Good to see you.
Welcome back from North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
North Carolina. Yay. Yay, North Carolina.
How was your trip?
My trip was good.
Did you have any banners taken down while you were there?
Nope.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you had an uneventful trip.
I did. I had a very uneventful trip. I now have four less Twitter followers. I mean, I now unfollow four people. I blocked two people. I muted three people, and they all happen to be Packer fans.
That's a sad commentary right there, man.
You know.
Go.
Well, wait.
Give yourself to the dark side.
I've already given myself to the dark side. So we'll wait, though, because we got some news.
We do.
Here's the thing. Don't be down, Packer fans. 6-2 is a good place to be.
It is.
It's not a great place, but it's a good place.
It's not the best place.
It's not the best.
Tied with the Vikings for the division lead is not where you want to be.
I'm not worried about the Vikings. Not worried about the Vikings.
Not really worried about
them. I'm actually not worried about anybody in the NFC North, but I am worried about the people watching the show.
Why is that?
Because I need them to win a Cheesehead TV Packer Legends poster.
Yeah, you do.
And the only way
how can they do that, Corey?
The only way you can do that, I'm gonna pull a Bill Michaels, who we'll talk about later. Douchebag is to tweet. I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. It's amazing. We're drinking it. Wisco Disco.
I wish they
would have had that in Charlotte. I had to go with Blue Moon.
Salud.
Not a bad beer, but not a Wisco Disco.
Mm. Few things are, my friend.
I got to see my nephew cry for the first time after a Packers loss, which, you know, hey.
That's a rite of manhood
That's a rite of manhood. I can remember the first time I cried. It was the Bishop's charity game. It was actually a preseason game. I was 7 years old,
Corey,
and we lost, and I
was
completely
games.
Devastated. It was the first game I went to with my grandfather.
Right.
I was completely devastated. My grandfather had to explain to me that the game actually meant nothing. So there you
meant
have
something
it.
To you, though, Corey. That's the important part.
Something happened to me inside.
Yeah, it made you sick and ill for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
For the green and gold.
It made me, actually, you know what? We're going to be giving Die Hard licenses out later on.
Yeah, I just found out about this a little while ago.
Aaron actually doesn't have one yet.
Nope.
But,
nope.
It's going to be fun,
I'm not worthy.
You're going to want one. And the key to a Die Hard,
obtaining a Die Hard license?
Well, the obtaining one is easy. Keeping one is hard. So the key to obtaining one is actually fairly simple, but you don't get it forever, and it can be revoked at any time. And these are the rules he just made up. It has everything to do with how you respond to social media and if you're a spoiled Packer fan, which there are an abundance of spoiled Packer fans.
Yeah, there are.
Can't believe how many there are, but they're all out there waiting to...
Here's my thing. All right, now you got me going. All right.
Oh, dear.
Here's my thing. All right. I know we're going to get there in a little while, and so we'll talk about it and whatever. But you know, it's 6-2. They're sitting there at 6-2. They've played two really tough teams on the road. And Packer fans are already kind of giving up on the season in the middle of this game because, you know, they can't beat tough teams on the road. Well, no, they couldn't beat this tough team on this day on the road. You are correct. Well, it's a recurring theme with this team. Always the same thing. Well, you know, they lost at home to the 49ers in the playoffs a couple years ago. You know, that wasn't home. You know, they lost a football game.
Yeah, they lost.
They're sitting at 6-2. You have to wait and let the season play out before you can deem it a failure, before you become totally fatalistic about it.
No, you can
just
deem the entire season a failure at the draft, Nagler. Come on, we were doing that.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what came over.
You know, you can do draft grades and it's over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of the draft grades, how about those rookies this year? We got some guys stepping up.
Well, I had a bone to pick again this week.
Yeah.
With the good, I feel like Demarius Randle should have been in the good, and I understand why he's not. And I actually deferred to our fabulous script writer of the show
right now,
and decided to not pick. I decided to pick my battles and not overrule him on that choice of not putting Demarius Randle in the good. But I do feel like the rookies are, I think that it's what I said last week. I feel like the rookies are going, they are ascending.
Yep.
So you don't know anything until we get to December. We really start to see where, if they're going to hit the wall or if they're going to keep going the way they're going. Because if they go the way they're going, good things are going to happen.
Good things are going to happen. I totally agree there. It's funny, too, because it's kind of like some of the veteran players who are kind of letting you down right now. I mean, whether it's, there's a couple second-year players, and we mentioned Ha Ha Clinton Dix, but Corey Linsley, I mean, just a bad performance on Sunday.
We're going to get to that. Josh Johnson in the chat, I got something to say to you, buddy.
Uh-oh.
He goes, you guys have called out the MSJ. Who's that?
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
But isn't it MJS?
I don't care.
Wah, wah. Bill Michaels and Vic. By the end of the year, you should get to everyone.
Oh, we're making our way through.
Don't you worry about that,
buddy.
We're
making our way through.
We started with Rob Domofsky back in the day.
Yeah, we're good friends with Rob.
Yeah, so, what goes around comes around.
You know, we pick our fights, we pick our battles, but, you know, it's all, just because we push and shove, always meant, you know, it's always done with love. And that's what we do, man.
Most times it's done with love. So let's get on to the Packers news.
Packers news, exciting times. All right. I think the biggest headline out of today, you got to admit, James Starks. There it is. Mike McCarthy getting up there and saying James Starks is the number one running back. And I think everyone is not surprised at this. This is not a shocking development. It's not news because pretty much James Starks has been the lead back for the last 3 weeks because he's been the best running back on the field. I don't think there's any question about that. Eddie Lacy himself said as much. But to see Mike get up there and actually say it, I got to admit, it was interesting. It was interesting. I mean, that is a definite demotion for Eddie Lacy, and that is the entire kind of press corps descending on the locker room afterwards, talking to them about it, tons of video about it. The Packers themselves put up a video package of James Starks and Eddie Lacy talking about the running back switch. So, I mean, it's a real deal, you know?
I mean, I think the next big real deal is going to be Mike McCarthy holding a press conference saying he's going to take the play calling back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, they did do the shift in operations, as they say. They had Alex Van Pelt, quarterback coach, down on the field last week. He had been up in the box every week prior. He was the one who handed Aaron Rodgers the infamous tablet that was thrown. So, we'll see how that plays out. Another piece of news. Got a couple guys back in the secondary on the practice field, which is you like to see. Obviously, Sam Shields coming back from the shoulder. He participated in practice today. You like to see that, but you really, really got to like seeing Rollins come back on the practice field today from that neck injury. Anytime you see a neck injury in the Green Bay Packers, you start to worry because they've had such a horrible history with neck injuries. So it was heartening to see Rollins back out there to read that he was participating. He wasn't a full participant, but he was out there. However, we had a couple guys added to the injury report today. We had your boy, Randall, and Brian Bulaga with a knee injury added to the injury report. Two guys that did not participate today. So that's disconcerting, to say the least. And then, Andrew Corliss. We're going to talk about the tight ends for a little bit there, Corey. I know that's right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, God.
Andrew Corliss was back at practice for the first time since going on injured reserve designated to return. The beginning of the return started today. He's not eligible to play until Thanksgiving night against the Bears, but the beginning of his return happened today, Wednesday, on the practice field.
That's good. I just, you know, I'm starting to turn into that fan who, like, wishes we had signed a tight end. And I know Ted's going to Ted, so...
Ted is going to Ted.
Like you know how, like, your brain knows that Ted is going to Ted?
Yeah.
Because that's what Ted
and
does.
And remember, when he didn't sign the tight end, everyone was like, oh, Ted's going to Ted. Ted's the teddiest Ted that ever Tedded. We were all, like, laughing about it. It's all funny. Now that the tight end position is a pile of garbage
for the most part,
other than every once in a while in the red zone, it's not so funny. And it's not so much fun.
It's not funny. It's
but
just
it's
like,
still... But that, yeah. But it's still... Ted, Tedding.
Okay, wait.
And you still got to believe in the Ted.
Yes.
Got to embrace
I believe in the Ted. I believe in the Ted. Look.
There he is in all his glory. Watching over us at all times.
He's always watching over my shoulder when on the show.
Exactly.
That's on purpose.
I know.
And in this shot, on my shot, oh, there he is. There
What's
he
up?
Is.
What's up,
he
Ted?
He stares at you, Packer fans.
He's smiling.
He stares at you. He's smiling. Because, you know,
and
when
by the way, Corey
when
took that shot.
When I took that picture of Ted... I literally said, smile for Packer fans.
That's exactly
and
what
And this
said.
Is what Ted delivered.
That's
and I think
good.
That's one of the best
that's
it's one
good.
Of the best shots of Ted I've ever seen in my life.
Totally agree.
It's definitely better than clapping Ted. Although I do need to put that video
on loop.
That is
one of the greatest gifts
that
ever.
Is the greatest video.
Somebody they got the first down when McCarthy challenged the spot on Cam Newton's knee being down. Or they stopped them from getting the first down. And that like two people put that in my feed almost instantly. I mean, Packer fans are the best.
It's a great, it's a great,
perfect gift.
Love it. Offense.
All right.
Speaking
moving
of,
on to the
we'll
offense.
We'll be getting to tight ends being
gross. All right. So the offensive line, ladies and gentlemen, it can't be. You can't beat around the bush.
What
anymore.
Is going on?
You can't beat around the bush anymore.
I just don't understand.
Let me tell you about the offensive line and how it is the root of all the problems. On the offensive side of the ball. Now, I hear what you're saying. The wide receivers can't get separation. Aaron Rodgers isn't pulling the trigger. Eddie Lacy doesn't look like himself. Blah, 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 blah. We got all these things going wrong on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm here to tell you, it all, every single thing I just said comes back to the offensive line. And it's lack of production. It's lack of execution. And I'll tell you why. Because people want to say that wide receivers can't get separation. Okay, fine. When teams are allowed to play press man on, let's say, 85% of the snaps against this team, and the offense can't get anything going on first or second down in the run game,
yeah.
When they're getting into constant second and nines, third and eights, Rodgers mentioned it on his locker today. More often than not, if you're faced with 7, 9, 10 of those a game, you're not going to win a lot of those battles downfield. You've got to be able to run short stuff, man beaters, whatever. We saw a few more of those Sunday against the Panthers. Not a ton. But I'm here to tell you, if the offensive line doesn't get things going in the run game and or in protection where Rodgers, a number of times, most famously on the last play of the game, or the last play the Packers had in that game, if they can't hold up on a three-step drop, not even like a short, like just three-step drop. There's a third and two earlier. I vined it out yesterday. There's a third and two where he's got Randall Cobb on an arrow route. He's just open, begging for the ball. But Rodgers comes right off of it, and I suspect it's because he's constantly dodging pressure in the pocket.
Yeah. Well,
it's in his head. You see him with happy
feet. There's two issues that I have in the first quarter in the offense. Which one is the lack of checkdowns for Rodgers.
Yes, a lot of that.
And here's the thing. You can say, okay, we're not going to... The second issue that I have actually goes more into the first, which is if your quarterback is hurried and getting sacked, you have got to change your game plan. You can't keep...
Doing the same
thing. You
can't
keep doing the same thing.
And why does it take until the fourth quarter to discover the play sheet with the screen calls on it? I mean, I recognize there was one screen call prior to the fourth quarter, but all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, they ran three screens and scored two touchdowns. Like, this is not rocket science. Like, this team is capable, and especially when they've got guys running off coverage, and then they've got teams pinning their ears back because they know they can get to Rodgers. Yeah, hit them with some screens.
This is not tough stuff.
Well, and at least give
Why
Rodgers...
Why does it take to be being down 21 points
give
in the
Rodgers
fourth quarter?
A check down. Like, if he's going to be in trouble, there's got to be somebody that's there to bail him out. And it's got to be part of the strategy. And it used to be part of the strategy. And I get, you know, there's a play where Lacy has to be in pass protection. And, you know, he's probably
maybe
the check
he's
down.
Designed to be the check down guy, but they blitz, so he has to stay in.
That happens that's sometimes. Happen. But on third and two and third and nine, certainly on third downs, there's got to be some kind of dump off because you got to imagine
or
that they're going to.
Or just a crosser. Something. Like a 5 yard
something.
Out.
Something. Yeah. You know, and you know, I mistakenly.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
While I was at the game.
You make mistakes?
I make them every day, Nagler. I mistakenly made the mistake of the internet connection at Carolina Stadium, Bank of America Stadium, excuse me, was very good. Like, amazingly good. Like
Better than Lambeau?
In my house, good. Lambeau sucks. Like, Lambeau Wi-Fi. Kyle Cousineau is literally the only person on Earth that can get Lambeau Wi-Fi if you're not in the press booth.
When you're the mayor, you know, that's what happens.
And that makes sense, right?
Of course Kyle
but
does.
But last time I was in Lambeau, which is like a month ago, the internet was terrible. And that's AT&T, I think. I'm not blaming Lambeau. It's it's Green Bay and there's 70,000 people. And, you know. But Carolina, man, it was like I was at my house. So I mistakenly decided.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
To look at Twitter
during
the game.
Oh, why'd you do that? You're at the game. Enjoy the game.
You know, and what's funny
I thought it was really weird that you were on Twitter because I knew you were at the game. And then you were tweeting a lot. And I was like, is like he in a booth? Is he like in a luxury box or something? Like, I swear to God you were at a luxury booth or something. Because I was like, why is he tweeting so much?
Here's the thing. If you're going to be at the game and tweet, you will find, especially if you're losing, that there are a lot of Packer fans you want to unfollow and block and mute. And I just found the mute button, and the mute button's
mute
interesting.
Button. Let me tell you.
It's kind of passive-aggressive, because it's like...
No. It's not passive-aggressive.
People don't know.
Button, yeah, exactly. The mute button
So they think you're just ignoring them?
The mute button is God's way of telling us he loves us. That is it. That is the pure and simple truth. So anyway, what happened? Why was that a mistake to look at Twitter?
It was a mistake because... For a lot of reasons we're going to talk about later. But,
we keep alluding to stuff we're going to talk about later.
Of course, we're teasing, Nagler. We're teasing.
Is that what it is?
We're learning. Okay. It's taken us 8 years, but we're slowly starting to learn how this works. So I'm like watching the game in the stadium, right? Mm-hmm. Not on television.
Right. You're there, live.
I'm there.
All 22 on every play.
Yes. Now I'm kind of in the end zone, right? Mm-hmm. A little on the side. So, I'm looking and I'm like, no one is getting open, right?
Right.
So I decide to tweet this.
See, there's your first mistake.
Okay. Then people are like, well, Cobb was open on that play. Okay. No one was getting open. Maybe in the first quarter, three people were open on various plays. Okay.
Right.
That Rodgers may or may not see. Now, you know, the probability of Rodgers seeing everybody who's open all the time is statistically impossible. That's never going to happen. Even the greatest quarterbacks in the world miss people open all the time.
All the time.
But wide receivers, and I know, and look, I stayed on task. Do you see how that is?
I do.
Nice. Wide receivers, while not a major issue in your script, were not getting open, and it has plagued this team the last two for the losses.
Yes.
It's definitely plagued.
And it comes back to what I was just talking about in all of the previous point in regards to the game plan and the routes they're being asked to run and the positions they're being put in. Again, because they're getting into so many third and longs, they're being asked to run all these. That third and nine that you referenced, I tweeted out that picture where there's a pocket, there's Aaron Rodgers looking downfield, there's literally 10 yards of nothing, and then the first down marker, which means all the receivers are down past that first down marker and obviously being blanketed. There's no mesh concepts. There's no slants. They ran two slants in that game. One to James Jones off the left side, which got broken up by Josh Norman. That was in the first half. One off the right side to Devontae Adams that gained 6 yards. And that was in the second half. Those were the two slant plays that I counted in the entire game. Again, no mesh concepts, no crossers, no smash routes, no dig routes. They threw two digs, one to Richard Rodgers, one to Devontae Adams. These should be staples for these guys. And they're not
And they're asking, Rob Domofsky did a great post today for ESPN.com about the speed of the wide receivers, and that's why I put this up here. Yes, they have slow-ass wide receivers. There's no two ways about it. They don't have a speed merchant other than everybody's favorite great white hope, Jeff Janis, who's sitting on the sideline.
He's got speed. I listened to Bill Michaels for 2 seconds on Monday.
Oh, no.
And literally the caller, and I put this on Twitter, literally the caller was like, these wide receivers are slow. I don't understand why they don't go to Jeff Janis and Aberderis.
Oh, dear.
Are you kidding me?
All right.
Who are these people?
I don't know. People who are sick of losing after two games. I don't know. Watching the offense.
They were saying this in week one.
Yeah, I'm pissed true.
Who
pissed
are true. These people?
I don't know.
Do they live in the
okay,
UP?
All right. Wait.
No, seriously. All right. Seriously. Do they all live right. in the UP and just watch Wisconsin games on Saturday and then eat mayonnaise sandwiches? Like, who are these people?
Probably. So, other than Jeff Janis, they don't have a ton of speed, right? But if I would, I will submit to you right now. Here's my answer to
I wouldn't put the vine in the system. Sorry. So he's got
so
to show
I do,
you
should one. I do it over there or should I do it up there?
This right there.
Or should I do it from yours?
No, this one. Or you can do mine.
Yeah, right. So wait.
Once you have it, then I'll
okay,
take
well,
it.
Okay. Well, I don't. I got. How am I going to see it?
You have.
Oh, there we go.
You
there
can
we go.
See it.
All right. Oh wait, can I do it? Uh huh. Okay. See what that is? See what that is? That's Randall Cobb going against Josh Norman. Josh Norman is the, at the moment, the darling of the NFL media. The new Revis, so to speak. Here's Randall Cobb totally destroying Norman in man coverage.
Hold it up a little bit.
Impress man coverage. There's Randall Cobb destroying Norman. Oh, and there's Aaron Rodgers overthrowing him. Now, maybe Rodgers had to try and get it up and over the safety coming over there. But this a better ball, and that's a huge gain for the Packers. So, yes, maybe they're slow. Maybe they're not burners. Maybe they don't have insane 40 speed. But Randall Cobb is plenty fast.
Well, and that goes to an issue that I don't understand as well, which is, and to answer the chat, nothing is wrong with Aberderis or Janis, okay? But if they were ready for prime time, they would be playing.
Correct.
Okay? That there's no doubt of. Where there are some things where you could say, why aren't they doing this?
Okay,
nitpicky.
Does everyone remember last year when Brandon Bostic didn't play all year? Everyone was like, why is Brandon Bostic not playing all year?
Wait.
Why is Brandon Bostic not playing all year?
Wait,
and then Brandon Bostic gets a fucking chance and completely blows the season.
Okay, I have to stop this.
Okay, you remember all that? I'm not saying that Aberderis and Janis are sitting there in practice totally screwing up everything. But there's a reason guys don't see the field. There's a reason. There's tons of stuff that happens in practice that we aren't privy to. Bostic was screwing up in practice. That's why he never saw the field. I think the coaching staff has earned their kind of pelt on the wall here about who has earned playing time and who hasn't. And if they deem that Janis and Aberderis aren't quite ready for prime time, well, I'm inclined to believe them because they didn't put Bostic on field all year last year because they knew what a screw-up he was. All right.
I just really wish you wouldn't say that name anymore.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay?
Sorry.
I forgot. You know, okay, saying it once is fine, but do you really have to say it five times?
I said it like 10 times, didn't I?
Plus, we got like 8 audio peak warnings during that.
I know.
I had no errors for the first time in this whole show.
I get upset. I'm sorry. It happens, man.
I get upset, too.
I get emotional.
Now, I was like... I was fine, and then you said that name, and I just don't understand.
To quote Gandalf, neither do I.
You make a good point, but at the same time, with that point,
yeah,
the second part of your point, I don't necessarily think they've earned their stripes because clearly there were people who did not want he that shall not be named
right in
the lineup whatsoever at all.
Yeah.
So clearly there's probably personnel that are the same as he that shall not be named anymore on the show. I will stop the stream right now. There's somebody on there. There's somebody on the team. We don't know who it is. It could be Jeff Janis. It could be Aberderis.
It could be.
Who what?
Who is
You've
that?
You've totally lost me now.
The guy on the team right now.
Yeah.
On the 53.
Who's going to screw it all up?
Who is he who shall not be named from last year.
Right.
And we don't know who that is.
Yeah, possible. Or maybe not. I'm just saying the coaches like see these guys every day in practice. And there's a reason they don't give them playing time. That's all I'm saying.
J-Ron Elliott.
You know, dude, that was weird. That was just weird. What was great is that Mike then in his press conference, I think it was on Monday, I think Michael Cohen asked him about J-Ron's playing time. Oh, man, Mike. Mike's got to do a better job of keeping that professional veneer of the reporter he doesn't want to talk to. Man, shot daggers. It was great. It was good stuff.
Yeah, but he shoots daggers at Jason Wilde.
Oh, on occasion, yeah. But that's my point. Like, just can't hide it.
I mean, he keeps his composure better than Belichick.
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
All right, what's next? Oh, it's your boy.
He's not my boy.
Your boy?
I don't understand. I'm over him.
Richard Rodgers.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Richard Rodgers for a second and what a major disappointment he's been? I mean, look, I'm not saying I expected him to be Gronk. All right? I'm not even expecting him to be Finley.
Finley. You know?
I was kind of expecting him to be a guy who would come in, be really super like assignment sure, do his job, have hit the weight room over the summer.
Not drop the ball.
And really like kind of kill it in the blocking game. You know, be a dependable third down target. None of that has happened. Now, where he has shined is he's shown clear chemistry with Rodgers in the red zone. And he got a couple touchdown passes this past weekend. What's funny about that first touchdown is if you watch that play, Keekly has got to like come around the edge, and Rodgers just totally whiffs on the block. He's like pointing at the tackle, like, okay, you got over there kind of thing. Like they're doing slide protection. And then, oh, it's a sprint out actually. And then he sees Keekly and he tries to come over and he just totally whiffs on it. He's got no chance. But because of that, then he kind of goes, oh, well, okay. And then he drifts downfield into the end zone and catches a touchdown pass. So he goes from like zero to hero on then one play.
Mm-hmm.
But between the 20s, this guy has gotten close to useless.
Well, and
I mean,
useless. Yeah, the wide receivers are not a major issue. But one of the things that you just wouldn't see from, you know, what you consider a professional wide receiver core of the Green Bay Packers is drops. You know, you got a non-existent Jones.
They had some drops a couple years ago, but like for the most part, they've been pretty good.
For the most part, they're dependable, you know?
Agreed.
And you saw that in that game where you saw at least four or five drops that were significant and significant times where you're like, guys, like this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Anthony Nash on the chat has a question about Rodgers. You think it has to do with just straight-up lack of talent, too heavy for what he should be, or is the team trying to do too much with him?
Well, I definitely think it's... Of all the things you just said, I think most of it has to do with the latter part. I think they've asked a whole lot of him, probably more than they had planned on prior to Corliss's injury. I think you saw Perillo go in for him as the lone tight end there in the third quarter. That speaks volumes to me about how disappointed they are with Rodgers' play. But at the same time, yeah, I think they've asked way too much of him. I don't know. I think the weight, maybe there's something to that. I think maybe he tried to get heavier because he was trying to be stronger and be a better blocker because we all know what his deficiencies were there in his rookie year. But look, I don't think he needs to be especially big. He just needs to be technically sound, and he's been anything but throughout, you know, the first nine games of the year or – you know, sorry, it's eight games of the year.
Yeah.
It's like I really thought, I said all summer, I thought he was a prime candidate for one of those classic second-year jumps, like a guy who you would see just really crisp in his assignments, in the blocking, getting downfield, getting, you know, feeling holes in the zone. Because you saw it last year where, like week two against the Jets, he runs a hook route into the zone, terrible, no feel for where the other guy is. Aaron gets the ball to him. He drops it. It's just a bad route and a bad drop and et cetera, et cetera. You fast forward to, you know, December of that same season, and he runs that same route into the same zone later on in the year, and he's perfect, and he's crisp, and you see he's learned. You've seen on tape. He's put it on there for you to see the learning process and the maturation, and you think, okay, this is a guy who's getting it. His dad's a coach. We I don't know how many of you saw it, but Andrea Kramer had a great feature on NFL Network prior to the game about, you know, his dad is the secondary coach in Carolina. He was wide receiver coach last year. Now he's coaching the secondary. Like, he's a coach's son. You think, okay, he's going to hit in the offseason. He's going to come back. And all that growth we saw through his rookie year, we're going to see that times 10 his second season. And it just hasn't been there. It hasn't. And it's like 8 games.
It's funny because I've completely given up on him, but during this show, I'm back. I'm coming back. You got this, Richard Rodgers. Right. I believe in you.
There you go. Look at that. We're turning around.
All right, defense.
Oh no. We were turning around and now we're coming back down. Okay, Dayton Jones.
Oh wait.
Wait, what?
Oh no. Philippe Garza says Nagler. You think they it's just on offense, so before we get to defense, let me pull defense real quick. Wah wah. Nagler, you think they should let Rodgers call the plays he wants? You retweeted something earlier about Arians letting Palmer pick the first and 10 plays, third down plays he wants.
Yeah. It was a great quote from Arians. You know, it's hard to say because it's so impossible to know exactly how much input everybody in that operation is getting into both the game plan and the calls, both coming in regards to what plays they're calling and then what adjustments Rodgers is making at the line. How many 50-50s is he given? How many check with me's? How many times is he right out just changing the play at the line of scrimmage? How many times is he changing route concepts on one side or the other, protections, etc.? Like, there's so much that goes on where he could be changing a play, but maybe he's just changing protections or just changing one route or maybe two routes or maybe like a whole concept, etc. And then even before you get to that point, you're talking about, you know, Clements and what has been kind of installed during the week. How much, you know, we've heard so much over the course of the summer and then coming into this year and then all preseason about the operation, the play calling operation, and how who would be involved, how Mike would still be involved, heavily involved, etc. How much Clements, you know, he's been calling plays with Rodgers this whole time, etc. He's always had input. Rodgers always talks about how he and Mike have this huge meeting on Thursdays to go over the game plan. I think now maybe they touch base on Saturday as well. So there's all these disparate parts. So it's hard to say, especially when Mike, you know, has said and Aaron has confirmed that, you know, they don't do openers anymore. They call them their opening thoughts. You know, they don't have 15 scripted plays like traditional West Coast offenses.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should get back to it. I don't know. But
I mean, I have a theory.
Should they? The question being, should they? I'm starting to lean that way. Because he's the one who's getting out there, and he's the one who's frustrated, and he's the one who's got to make it all go.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a theory, okay?
Do tell, Mr. Banks.
So, and I think this is a classic example of making it too complex, but at the same time, I have a theory, right? So, when Mike McCarthy was calling the plays, he was operating the team, especially the offense, on a micro level, right?
Right.
With getting Tom Clements and pulling back, right, he could go, you know, Mike McCarthy's been the coach now for a while, right? He's got a lot of accolades.
Damn
he's done
decade.
A lot of things, right? And so in some ways, it's like, how can he elevate his game? So Mike McCarthy goes, okay, so I've got Tom Clements calling the plays on a micro level. He can take care of that. You know, him and Rodgers work well together. We can talk about it during the week. We can game plan and strategy. Now, I can deal with things on a macro level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we talked about this before in the beginning of the show. So my current theory, which is probably complete bullshit, but maybe something to it, because I don't understand it otherwise. Like, it's one of these theories where I don't understand why they're doing the thing they're doing. So clearly they're trying to, like, outthink someone. So I think one of the things that happens late in the season is everybody can game plan for them because they put everything on tape, right?
Right.
So there's part of me that thinks, okay, well, maybe they're trying things that don't necessarily make sense in order so that they can do the game planning and the play calling they want in December. Because in December, once they get to there, you know, they don't want to have given up all the good plays and everything on
yeah.
tape.
Yeah.
And I know that's like Vince Lombardi would take that theory. Literally, he would take my hair and probably throw me out the window of our third floor studio
right.
because it makes no damn sense.
Well, because it's like you don't want to concede games. That's the thing. The last 2 weeks, they've
that's
conceded the games. And even when they were stubbing their toe against San Diego, you thought, all right, you know, they just need some time. You thought the bye week was going to come and go, and that would be great. And I tend to agree that there is stuff. McCarthy mentioned it during the bye week that they will implement as the year goes on that they haven't shown yet. I think there's no doubt about that. I think that's just the nature of the beast. To get back to the question, though, it's funny because you wonder, should they just let Aaron call the plays? Because he mentioned it at the end
of
the
game. He did it in the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, they were playing what he called schoolyard ball. He was just getting up there and calling the plays. And they were moving the ball. A lot. Now, there's also something to be said, and McGinn touched on this in his kind of review of the game, where he said, you know, this is a tried and true NFL thing that happens a lot. We saw it against the Panthers the week before, that Monday night against the Colts, where a team gets out, stakes to a big lead, and then they just play off.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
So it becomes
easier. The
Packers
do that. How yes. many?
That happened to Kansas City.
Game, yeah.
Kansas City. Exact same thing
happened.
They're
coming back. Oh, my
goodness. They got up 24-3, and it was over. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword in that regard, but I do think the offense just seems to kind of flow a little bit when Aaron's just allowed to get up there and just call it like he sees it on the field. The problem is that like kind of trashes all this work that McCarthy and company have done all summer long in regards to the construction of the offense, the construction of the, you know, play calling operation, etc. And if they just let Rodgers go out there and wing it, well then they've kind of failed in the regards of all the work they've done in regards to the offense. Now,
true.
I think tend to think there's a happy medium that can be reached because I don't think having Aaron go out there and play schoolyard ball all game is a feasible idea.
No.
But I do think maybe they should try it a little more. And just one last thing to touch on this. They are hampered a little bit because of the fact that you and I talked about this before the show. They're hampered a little bit in the personnel that they have game in and game out.
Well, yeah, people are like, oh, why don't they call the hurry-up offense?
Well,
and
it takes,
Aaron alluded to that in the press conference.
You need a lot of guys kind of, you know, on the same page, and they just haven't had guys repping together. Somebody at Aaron's locker today asked him, you know, that, you know, the touchdown drive to go ahead against Seattle, where you ran no huddle and you were really in a rhythm, and it's kind of the last time you've looked like that. Why is that? And Aaron, you know, you was one of those things where you could see him have the answer long before the guy stopped talking.
Yeah.
He said, well, go back and look at the personnel on that drive. We haven't had that personnel on the field since then. And it's, you know, that's kind of striking,
yeah.
other than a few snaps against Kansas City. And that's striking because it's true. You mean, between Devontae Adams and Ty Montgomery, who is an integral part of that drive, you know, it's just interesting. It's when they get their horses back and they kind of like, I don't want to say humming, because I don't think they've been humming at all this year. You know, I think they can move the ball and they can be successful. But again, it comes back to the offensive line. Everything they want to do, everything they're trying to do,
yeah.
everything they're going to do can't happen unless that offensive line gets its head out of its collective ass.
Well, and especially, you know, players like Josh Sitton that you thought were just in the bag.
I mean,
and Corey Linsley, like
everybody thought, or everybody, and he has been. Josh Sitton has been the best guard or one of the best guards. The only other guy I maybe put above him plays in Baltimore. But, you know, one of the best guards in the damn league.
But what's going on?
And now
something
all of a sudden,
clearly going on.
He's given up sacks nearly every game. He's lethargic in the run game. He's just not himself. And I don't know what's going on. On the flip side, TJ Lang is playing out of his freaking mind. Like, for as much as I'm ripping on the offensive line here, and they are a major part of the problem, TJ Lang is playing really well. Like, and that's what's confounding is like you've got guys like Linsley and Sitton who we thought, you know, these guys are all set. They're great. Mike said today, my interior three are, you know, they're all set. They're great. Well, okay, two of them really need to pick it up. And to Lindsley's credit, he said as much after the game. His quote was amazing. He was like, I played like garbage today. That's unacceptable, and I got to pick it up. And so you know he knows. You know he's sitting there in the film room seeing what we see,
yeah.
like blown protections and problems with passing things off. These simple things. You know, they struggle with A-gap pressure. A-gap pressure, which they were repping this summer. He's been repping that since he was in freaking Pop Warner as a center. So This is correctable, but it's got to happen up front. Until that happens, nothing else is going to happen.
Let's move on to the defense.
All right. Dayton Jones. Man, Dayton Jones needs to play more. This guy, he barely played. I think he played 20% of the snaps on Sunday.
Ooh, that's it?
Yeah. He needs to be up there, dudes. I mean, I'm telling you, Dayton Jones, go watch the tape. This guy is playing extremely well. Whether it's against the run or against the pass, he is playing well. When he's given a chance to bounce outside, he's beating tackles. Like, inside, he's almost two-gapping on occasions, but mostly he's just shooting a gap and making things happen. He's playing well, but he's barely getting a chance to do so. He's splitting time with Mike Pennell, and I like Mike, but come on. Dayton is playing way better than him. I would posit that Dayton's playing much better than LaTroy Guyon.
Wow.
Guyon's getting snaps above him. So the only guy I probably wouldn't take off the field for him is Mike Daniels, but come on. But hell, put him in for Raji on occasion. I don't care. He's earned playing time. He's played extremely well. I want to see him play more. Next one's something I know everyone can chime in on.
Oh, my God.
Dom Capers.
Oh, God.
If I see one more 13 and, let's say, 15 plus to go, third down, they need at least 15 yards, I'm going to run and hide and put my head in the microwave because we know that the opposing offense has the Packers right where they want them. Yep. If I see another goddamn three-man rush, I am going to kill something.
Okay, I like my gear.
As I said in gut reactions,
how come I don't have audio peak warnings, but you have audio peak warnings?
I'm going to kill two kittens the next time I see a three-man rush on third and 15 or more.
I agree with what you're saying, but here's I'm going to have a little nit to pick, and it's not with you. I literally had to stop following people and blocking people on Twitter, and half of the reason is because there is this whole subset of fans who cannot get over the fact that Dom Capers is our defensive coordinator, and it's really annoying, okay? So if you want Dom Capers fired...
Oh, the automatic firing.
Okay?
Yes.
I am going to block you on Twitter, okay? And then I'm going to go on the Cheesehead TV account. I'm going to block you on that account, too. Because you're dumb.
Dear.
Because you're stupid. Okay?
Oh, dear. That's strong language there, Mr. Banky.
You are. He's not going to get fired. You know? And they're not going to hire you as the defensive coordinator. Okay? You're not the assistant coach.
Uh-oh. That one sticky's holding
on. Turn the farm thing because I had a thing. You are not the assistant coach of the Green Bay Packers.
No matter what your bumper sticker says.
Okay? Just because you have the bumper sticker doesn't make it true. Get over yourself on social media. We're going to get to that later because we're still on defense.
Yeah, but now I'm about to go off on this call. Am I not allowed to go off on a call? Isn't that what being a sports fan is all about?
Yes, you can go off on a call, but you're not saying Dom Capers should be fired.
No, that's true because I'm not stupid.
That there's a disconnect there. No, but and here's the thing, right? You and I can have a conversation,
right?
And we can pick the nits
off
of the flea, right?
Yep.
But on social media, you can't do that.
Right.
It's like you say one thing and it's like, it goes from 0 to 60. It's like, no,
always.
It can't, guys, gals, Dom Capers is not getting fired.
Especially not today.
And you know what? He really shouldn't be.
No.
He's earned his place of where he is and he makes mistakes like everybody else. And hopefully he learns from
Jesus,
them.
This is like kindergarten with Mr. Banky. I like it. But okay. What was the last thing you just said? What was the last thing you just said? The last, very last thing under your breath.
Look, and I...
Wait, whoa, time out, time out, time out.
What did I say?
You said he's made mistakes, and you were fine. And then you added something.
What did I add?
And he's going to learn from them.
Hopefully. Wow, you missed the hopefully.
But I'm here to tell you. Let me give you the news. He's not learning from them. Go back and watch the Seattle King playoff game. Third and 19, three-man rush. What's the result? Okay, it was only the biggest fucking game of the year. Maybe he learned from it. Nope, here comes third and 18 in Carolina. Gee, what happens when I rush three? Oh, that's right. My dudes totally screw up on the back end. Won't get any pressure on the quarterback. He's allowed to run around.
Oh, is this another mobile quarterback? Another guy who can move in the pocket? Yes, it is. Is it Carson Palmer? Is he going to be stationary? No, it's a guy who can escape, move around, buy time, find a guy 25 yards downfield for a first down. Well done, Dom. Well done indeed. If I see another three-man rush on third and long, I am going to kill somebody.
Okay, but now if you...
Learn from your mistakes!
But maybe he has, and I'll just have you know that...
Exhibit A, he hasn't!
Of the 23 peak warnings that are in this show currently, I am responsible for none of them.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm the one that's the most pissed off here, okay? Yeah, it doesn't show on camera, but it is. And it's not. I'm not pissed off at the Packers, actually. I'm not upset with the Packers at all. At all. For losing, for stinking it up in the first half.
Yep.
I'm upset with the atmosphere and the environment that we have found ourselves in as Packer fans.
Ooh, that's deep.
And I'm going to get to that. It's another little tease.
Okay, little tease.
But to Dom Capers, I'm going to defend Dom Capers here. Because you know what? Everybody says I defend him all the time anyway. I don't. Like, no, I don't really care that much. Because honestly, I feel like, you know what? If it's if it's third and 19 and I rush three.
Well, here's the thing.
You should be able to cover the guys and make the play and make it happen.
Okay, wait, wait, wait.
And here's the thing.
Hey,
here's
look,
the thing.
It's
hold
like
on,
it's
hold
in
on.
The script.
Hold on, audio peak warning.
I'm way over here. How can I audio peak warning when I'm way over here?
Okay. I know I'm going to get, we're going to get to the next thing, but just back, the one thing is, okay, statistically, how many third and 19s in Dom Capers' career as the Packers' defensive coordinator has he finished off and made them punt the ball? I would say...
A bunch.
That...
A bunch. I still philosophically hate it.
The majority...
I still philosophically hate it.
But
you're rushing three people against five guys. It is beyond stupid!
But again, at the end of the day, besides football being trench warfare...
You dropped an end-of-the-day reference.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
Football is about probability and mathematics when it comes to coaching. There is a lot of it, especially in the coordination side.
All right.
Okay? And I think if we actually looked at the numbers...
Yeah, but I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the tape.
Exactly my point. I've made my point.
And now I'm about to make mine, which is, in the script, which I'm dutifully following. So after my three-man rush, right, because I am philosophically opposed to the three-man rush maybe has a chance of getting bailed out. That craptastic call maybe has a chance of getting bailed out if Ha-Ha Clinton motherfucking Dix just does his motherfucking job. You look at the coach's tape, he's jumping a route. He's got, well, he's not jumping the route, but he's like drifting towards a route he has no business drifting towards. Meanwhile, there's a guy screaming across the field, wide blinking open, and you see him go, oh, shit, that's my guy. Like, Clinton Dix was god-awful in that game. I mean, god-awful. Time and time and time again. I mean, he was M.D. Jennings bad.
Ooh. That's bad.
He was so bad. I mean, he was bad. I mean, he made Charlie Pepper look like Ronnie Lott. I mean, that's how bad he was. I mean, he made one or two plays where he came up and had a stick or whatever, like, fine. But holy smokes, he was terrible in that game.
He was so terrible, he had to, you know, get mad at everybody else.
Well, apparently Peppers laid into him, and I'd love to know what Peppers was saying. Because holy smokes, was he bad in that game. And then to go over to Julius Peppers and give him grief? Are you out of your mind?
He apologized.
I know, on Twitter. That's so sweet.
I'm sure he apologized.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he apologized in person.
I have no doubt. Oh, that whole thing was like,
none
oh,
of that
gosh,
bothered me.
Not me neither. Like,
none of that bothered
I just thought
me.
It was fun. Like, you got to be pretty darn stupid to be like getting up in Julius Peppers' face. I don't care if Julius.
Yeah, but even
yes,
Peppers.
And did
like
Julius Peppers
passion.
Have a? Did Julius Peppers have a great game? No, but he didn't cost them. You know what I mean? Like he didn't blow his assignments. Like he was ineffectual against their right tackle, but he didn't blow assignments to the point where they were giving up points because
of it. No, but teammates yelling at each other is like, just passion.
Care. Exactly. I totally agree.
At you all the time.
All the time. We fight all the time.
And I don't... I tweet
my apologies afterwards, so, you know, it's all good.
I don't think you've ever tweeted an apology to me.
Oh, I'm sure I have. I was a subtweet, probably, so you didn't see it.
We're talking a lot about Twitter. Maybe we should buy some stock in it.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
Yeah. Do I kinda am ready.
No, you're not.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey!
So,
what's up?
Yeah, there were some good times. Again, I'm mad at myself for being on Twitter during the game.
Yeah, that was very weird.
So, you know,
Wait, is this
Twitter.
The only Wisco Disco we have?
No.
Is this the only Wisco Disco we
have?
No,
there's more.
Have? All right, good.
There's more.
Talk.
Oh, no. So, I was on Twitter, and it was, you know... It was the last drive of the game. I think it was just as Carolina scored, right, in the first half. And I happened to see this tweet from one Bill Michaels. Yeah. And the tweet says, and there is your dagger. Now, just realize that the first half was not completed yet. Okay. And so we've conveniently put, and there's the dagger to your credibility, although I would say that that dagger actually sailed like a while ago. That dagger was in the heart like when I was a child. And, you know, I got to say that I enjoy Bill Michaels. Like, I used to enjoy him after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've talked to many, many Packer fans, and they all kind of tell me the same thing every time I say anything about Bill Michaels. And they'll say, you know, why do you even listen to him? Why you follow him? He's garbage, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, no, he's, you know, he's entertaining to listen to. And, you know, I listened to him on Monday, right. And he was entertaining to listen to.
Yeah.
And he's got to put up with a lot of crazy people, like we all do. But I have a problem, and I do feel like it's a disservice to Packer fans. And I've actually blocked and unfollowed a couple people that were, like, trying to argue with me that it wasn't a disservice, just his opinion. But, you know, it's not just his opinion. And it's rude, and it's disrespectful to the game of football. And I'll tell you why. And I know nobody cares about this but myself. And I know even Nagler, if I really pushed him, he would totally push me.
Oh, I'm ready, dude. Just keep. I'm letting you make your point.
He would totally
push
me.
I'm coming back.
Great.
Six guns a-blazing.
So I'm not going to go guns a-blazing.
All right.
But I actually feel like, look, the Packers, I look at it as, what if the Packers would have won? First off, okay, let's talk about that phrase, okay?
Right.
There is only one person in the world that owns that phrase.
Yep.
Okay? His name is Wayne Larrabee.
Yep. He doesn't pick up the phone when we call.
Okay? He doesn't pick up the phone when we call. He is an amazing human being. Okay? And you know what? He's never been wrong when he threw that. When he throws that phrase.
We went through this before. I think he was wrong.
No, he has never
Seattle
been
game,
wrong.
But anyway.
No, he's never been wrong, Nagler. Right. Okay?
All right.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay. All right.
So.
We've ended the argument with that.
Yeah. So. He's never been wrong. And here's the thing. To put that at halftime, you know.
Before halftime.
To put that before halftime is, yeah, it's snarky. It's Howard Stern-ish. But, dude, you're not Howard Stern. You're a guy who does radio calls for the Packers that Packer fans look to call the game as you see it. And you could say, well, I believe that. But what here's the thing. The Packers, and I know this because I posted a video that I was literally sitting there praying that they were going to score a touchdown. The Packers were this close to tying that game. Now, granted, people were like, no, actually, they were two plays close to tying
the
game.
They
still had to do a two-point conversion.
Blah, 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 yeah.
But they were very close to tying that game. And they did show some life. And I just think you do a disservice, and you don't do a disservice to me because I'm going to believe in the team no matter what you say, Bill Michaels. And I know it's not your job to make Packer fans believe in the team. But it is your job to respect the game of football. And I don't believe you did it in that case. And I know people will disagree with me, but I'm sorry, you're a douchebag.
I love how you drop that, and then you cut to my camera, so I can just pick up the pieces here. All right, well, here's my okay. I'll say my piece here because I didn't. I kind of saw the back and forth there at the end of the half. I didn't really pay attention to it, but then, you know, I did kind of see some of the fatalistic stuff that a lot of Packer fans were tweeting about. And then somebody, I think Michael, in my Twitter feed, directed me to Bill was taking calls on Monday morning. And so I haven't tuned into Bill in a while, and I turned it on. And Bill was going on this rant, man. He was just ranting about how they can't beat the good teams. And it's like, look, all right, they played two really good teams on the road. They're 6-2. They're coming back to Lambeau. They got a stretch now of four games that is really going to decide the division, essentially. I mean, not totally, but it'll go a long way to figuring things out. Does anyone remember 2010?
Yeah.
Well, and no, when you say that, no. Here's the thing. When you say 2010, all of a sudden, everybody wants to argue about, oh, you're comparing them to 2010.
No, you idiots. No.
I'm not comparing the team to 2010.
It's the point that there's a long way to go.
Exactly.
You've got to let the season play out.
And here is why Bill Michaels' tweet bothers me the most.
Right.
Because it plays into spoiled-ass millennial Packer fans who do not understand where this team has come from, where this team is going, and who this team is. They just want to... If it's not happening, it's over. And it's not over. We don't have no idea where the season is going to go.
That is correct.
And that is the comparison to 2010. Because in 2010, everybody was writing this team off. Okay?
Even in the middle of the season,
I bet if you listen to this show, we weren't writing them off, but we were talking crap about them.
I will tell you what. I can pull up a post from that year after the Detroit loss where everybody, we wanted to. We can talk about Old Bag of Donuts. We can talk about CD Angeli. We can talk about all the old school people who used to come on this show and listen and now never talk to us. You know, all those people. You know, they were all ready to fire Mike McCarthy. Jersey Al, I believe, is in attendance tonight.
Yes,
I believe Al was ready to fire Mike McCarthy after that game. And I'll never forget it. I had a post that I put up and said, look, I understand wanting to fire Mike today, but you got to let the season play out. I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl. But I did know the season wasn't over.
Well, and the season isn't close to over. And here's the thing, though.
Right now, we
went to Philadelphia away, and everybody wrote this team off.
Yep.
And this team came through. We went to Atlanta.
Well, that team came through.
Okay, that team came through.
Yes.
But we went to Atlanta, everybody wrote them off, and the team came through.
Right.
No, there's no way you can win in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is no way you can beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Now, you're right. It's a different team. Everybody's going to say this on Twitter. They're going to argue with me. And guess what? Go ahead and argue with me. I'm going to block your sorry ass because you're a stupid Packer fan. And I'm not putting up with stupid Packer fans on Twitter at all ever again in my life. I have no tolerance for stupid Packer fans.
Because you don't know your history. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you're going to.
Yes.
I see. In that regard, I agree. Because I think that it's the spoiled thing. It's the, you know, only been around and seen Favre and Rodgers and blah, blah, blah. Now, there are tons of people who obviously are like us and lived through the 70s and 80s. But a lot of those people seem to have forgotten the 70s and 80s. Like, football is hard, man. It's a hard gig. This team is 6-2.
Yeah, and guess what? Everybody's trying to beat them, and they're really good, too.
Yeah.
Like...
And they've played two really good teams on the road. And now here's the other thing that Bill said.
Two undefeated teams.
At the time. And this is the other thing that Bill said that kind of got under my skin a little bit. It's like, you know, it does, you know, got to beat the good team. Something, what did he say? Like, it only matters if you can beat the good teams or something like that.
No, it doesn't,
you have to be able to beat the good teams. It only matters if you can beat the good teams. Some along those lines. And I said, yeah, it matters in January. In November, early November, that's just part of the ride. It's just part of the calculation of where your team is and where you need to fix and where you need to go and how you need to improve. And that's what they're doing. And we're along for that ride. We're along for that journey. We're here to take that next step. We're here to turn the page and see, read the next chapter. It's amazing. It's awesome. Get on board, people. Because I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers can take us amazing places. And he's going to.
I believe it.
But golly, this need to be so fatalistic. It just drives me insane. Look, we all know. We all get frustrated. Just go back and listen to my rant about Don Capers and third down and three-man rushes. I mean, there are things that are going to drive us nuts. I totally get that. But when you're taking a 30,000-foot look and declaring the season over, get out of my face with that.
Or
nonsense.
If you're trying to be the first person to make this team shitty, you know, like, oh, I got to be the first one to say there is your dagger. Like, the first reply on that tweet is, you're a little late.
Oh, God.
You know, and I know it's like, you know, we can build up straw men all day. And now on Twitter, it's like you can just have any straw man, right?
Who
could turn out to be, you know, a 12-year-old kid who hasn't even gone through puberty yet, who's trying to, like, be Howard
be
Stern
cool.
to everybody.
Yeah.
So I totally get that. But it just seems like people have lost their mind. And, you know, I'm also going
to
say,
well, if they're listening to
I'm
this
also going
to
say,
no doubt,
go to a game, okay? Go to a game. Don't sit on your couch and watch the Packers and be opinionated. You have the right to, but just go to a game. Because once you go to a game, you actually get to see football.
Yeah.
And you get to see stuff you don't get to see on television. And also, you made an investment. You know, and you know, the NFL wants me to say that, right? It's because
you
spent hundreds of dollars, right?
Or thousands if you're a banner guy.
Yeah, yeah. You've spent thousands of dollars to get there. And we did. My family did. And we had a great time. And it's funny because my sister got all these things from her clients who were like, oh, did you guys have a terrible time? And my sister and I are like, no, we had a great time. We got to hang out with our family. We got to have a brat before the game. We got to tailgate. I got to see my friends who are Carolina Panther fans. You know, it was a great time, and the people around the stadium were great to us. And, you know.
Well, Carolina fans are awesome.
And Carolina is a great stadium.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
So I just say, go to a game. Don't become, you know, life is too short to be just jaded and snarky and negative all the time, especially when we have this beautiful Packer team that historically we have not always been privileged to have.
You can, however, be negative and snarky every once in a while.
Yes.
Maybe not about the team.
You can nitpick about specifics.
That's kind of how I live my life.
You can you nitpick about specifics.
I know. Well, yeah, but that's my point.
That's different,
like a third down call.
That's not saying if we can't beat the good teams, we're terrible.
It's yeah, like, you see, that's
really
it's the fatalistic stuff that just drives me insane. But hey, man, you know, that's what you want to do. That's how you want to live your life. You're just going to get blocked by Banky on Twitter.
You're
going to
be blocked, muted, and followed. So I know nobody cares, but...
This is another point, but, you know, it's fine.
The reality is nobody cares.
This is correct.
So I get it.
There's only like four people watching the show anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
That's true.
You done? That felt good. Felt good to get it off the chest.
No, I mean, we didn't talk about Bannergate, but we didn't have a guest, and we're already over time, so
I know,
we should probably
way over time. But, hey, whoa, we got to get a prediction. Got to get a prediction.
I'm the same.
60-0 Packers.
But here's
the
thing. Here's the thing I'm going to say, okay?
All right.
I do not believe we're going to lose.
Right.
But if we lose, it's not the end of the world still.
I agree with that assessment. However, I will say, if the Packers lose to the Lions on Sunday, it's going to make this week look like Christmas in comparison. It's going to be like... I don't know what. It's going to be World War III.
I'm going to follow like you and Jersey Al and Jamie.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Because it's going to be...
Everybody else.
Oh, my... It's going to be Armageddon in these Twitter streets if the Packers lose on Sunday.
They're not
But I will
lose.
Say, let me tell you, if they do lose, I bet we annihilate the comments record on Gut Reactions.
Oh, yeah.
Because this week was 280-something.
That's it?
I think it was a record. I think that's the most ever. Dallas was asking me earlier. I thought there was a Brett Favre post that maybe got 300, but he couldn't find it. So I think maybe that might have been the record. Mm. But let me tell you, they lose to the Lions.
I do read that. Even though I don't read Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I do read that.
If they do lose to the Lions, the comments on Gut Reactions will set an all-time record. I bet we hit 500. There's no doubt in my mind. But that's not going to happen because the Packers are going to win. The Packers are going to win 31-17.
Yeah, I'll go 31-4. I mean, 3.
I'll say
five.
This.
Actually, we're going to get a safety.
I'll say they'll get a safety in that regard because they'll be the five.
That's what I meant.
we
are going
I will
to
say
make
this.
The Lions give
Matt
us
Stafford
a safety.
Matt Stafford and Megatron are going to have a turn back the clock type performance. This Packers secondary is giving up monster chunks of yardage at a historic rate.
Demaryius Randall is going to have his third interception.
He didn't practice today because he's hurt. So
I don't care.
I hope he's out there.
I'm calling it.
All right.
Third interception in 3 weeks. And he's going to get in the good next week.
All right. I hope so.
Next week, show is on Thursday because Corey's in L.A.
Thursday night. Corey's in L.A. He's a jet setter.
Mark your calendars.
Nagler's just here in New York. I was supposed to go to Detroit, but that got canceled. That's the excitement in my life. You have fun in L.A. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here, to yell at you and call you not true fans and tell you we're going to block you on Twitter. Thank you so much. We are and will always be devoted Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Go Pack Go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.